Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your co-pilot, Jason Middleton. And in this segment, once again, our destination will be Mars.
We can push out into the solar system. Not just to visit, but to stay.
The world's leading space agencies united as the International Mars Science Foundation and joined with private industry to accomplish one shared goal: to build a home for humankind on Mars.
The goal for landing and establishing humanity on Mars is tangible enough to put a date on it. Well, a hopeful date, a proposed date of settlement, but still, it's a date. 2033, that's when private spaceflight companies, world governments, astroscientists, astronauts, and scientists of every stripe aim to make Homo sapiens a multiplanetary species.
Over the next 7 months, your bodies are going to be exposed to nearly 200 times the dose of a normal year's worth of radiation exposure on Earth. Calcium will leach from your bones, which will lose nearly 10% of their mass before you even get to Mars.
Well, now that's a mind scrambler.
There is no test that can tell you whether or not the notion of being 60 million kilometers away from the planet on which you were born could shatter your mind in so many pieces.
Yeah, I told you. Now, we've had the author of How to Build a Spaceship on this show recently, and today we have another author. He's a veteran of space journalism and an international award winner for his coverage of the space race and the people who fuel that lofty goal. The book is simply titled Mars, the same title as the television series that airs on National Geographic sometime in November. The Mars plan being laid out is simply elegant, if not scientifically complex. And it's possibly the most daunting project humans have ever self-assigned. Now, from launch pad to orbit, here we go.
Leonard David, and I'm author of the new National Geographic book, Mars and Our Future on the Red Planet.
Let's start at the beginning. Let's start with the book, Mars, Our Future on the Red Planet, and your involvement. How did you get so excited and involved?
Well, I've been a reporter covering space programs around the globe for quite a while, for decades, and had an opportunity to write. I co-wrote a book with Buzz Aldrin, the Apollo 11 moonwalker, and with National Geographic. And then a couple of years passed, and all of a sudden I get a call and said, "Would you like to do this book on the future of the red planet?" And it was go from there. I've really enjoyed the potential to show people what's possible and how hard it's going to be.
Right. Well, we've had Buzz on the show, so I'm kind of glad this is coming full circle with you as well. And come to think of it, just last week we had on Julian Guthrie, the author of How to Make a Spaceship. And
Yeah,
we kind of touched on that. And to really bring it full circle, which is why I cannot wait to read your book, is because my seven-year-old picked up Julian Guthrie's book and has been fascinated with Mars ever since. So we had to watch The Martian just again this week. So I think that your audience range is anywhere between 7 and about 700 at this point. So let's go back to the project, though. From the book to the series on National Geographic that's coming up as well, how was the whole project for you? Where did you see some of the excitement points, if you will, and some of the challenging points as well?
Mars is going to be hard, and that's the challenge. I also feel it is a global challenge. You know, right now the Chinese have two people living in their space lab. We've got six people on board the International Space Station. I mean, things are kind of in a really interesting perspective of world interest in space, and then the big jump to Mars is going to be, again, hard and difficult, but it's also solvable. And what does that mean when we get there and put our first footfalls on another world? Elon Musk is, you know, as you noted there, has certainly been very adventuresome in his projection of colonization of Mars and building a interplanetary transport ship. So it's really global. It's private sector. NASA's engaged in trying to put together the technical, you know, wish list of things they got to do before you know, we can send people to Mars. So, you know, it's sort of like full throttle around the globe in my mind.
Right. And you have a lot of institutional knowledge, like you mentioned at the top. You've been covering this for decades. But just in broad strokes, what are the challenges left? Because as I'm looking at some of the pre-press for the book and for the show, 2033 seems to be a target. What is the thing that you're like a little bit concerned about? Like, I wonder if they're going to be able to pull off X in time.
Maybe it's not technical. It's more a political will and leadership. You know, that's a mainstay of putting this kind of program together. And administration changes, you know, what's going to happen in the near term. How will the space program fare budget-wise? Technically, I think everybody seems to be marching to the same drum that the technology exists now to pull this off. My issue, and I put this in the book, is make sure to keep an eye on new technologies coming, advanced propulsion systems, new ways to land bigger and bigger and bigger payloads on Mars, habitats. There's a bunch of challenges, but people are working on these, and I think with a little fortitude and financing, all the elements can come together to make not only the first footfalls, but then later, you know, settlement, colonization of Mars. I think it's within our future.
We're speaking with Leonard David. He is the author of Mars, Our Future on the Red Planet, also a contributor and partner with an upcoming series on National Geographic Television. Mr. David, now, as we kind of pivot towards private space flight, do you see that kind of spillover effect, if you will, from the technological advances needed to be a multi-planet species kind of affecting our day-to-day lives? Or are we just too far out to make that call?
No, I think, you know, when you have people like Jeff Bezos of Amazon.com fame and Blue Origin, when you have people like Richard Branson, the Virgin Galactic backer, you've got Elon Musk, you see the emerging capabilities of the private sector in space. And one thing that I think is really important about all of those, I think they're training people to realize that they have a chance to fly into space. It could be suborbital space, but later on these craft are going to be able to put passengers in orbit. So in some way, I think we're creating the first kind of a new generation of space traveler. You know, not everybody's going to have the right stuff like Mercury 7 astronauts and all that, but I think little by little we're going to have a chip away so we all can afford to go into space and go into orbit. So I think it's training ground for people that will go even more, gain more frequent flyer miles, you know, you get to Mars.
Right. And when you mentioned training ground, I kind of go back to the multi-platform approach that this subject matter has taken on. We were talking about your book, of course, and we have an upcoming series on National Geographic. We also have a really cool website, makemarshome.com, that's very interactive as well. Do you find that approach is helping to grasp attention as well as having these entrepreneurial icons leading the way, carrying the flag?
Yeah, I do. And I think in a lot of ways, the way we can showcase space exploration and participational activities in space, it's all for the better. Because I think the future of exploration is that we're all going to go, whether it's through virtual reality or GoPro cameras mounted on a space helmet that somebody's standing on Mars. This is a unique time. Never before in our civilization where we can all participate in exploration. We can be there and watch the first footfalls on another world by humans, but we'll, in a lot of ways, we'll be there as well. That's now history. That's something unique and novel, right? Never been done before.
When we do this, how does that fall into context with landing on the moon?
So the moon and Mars, you know, little by little, we're going to checklist these things off. The Europeans, by the way, are very, very interested in creating a moon village. And that may, I think that, again, is going to be another proving ground going back to the moon for many countries and also help evolve capabilities in other countries that can contribute to the big jump between the Earth and Mars.
We're speaking with Leonard David, of course. He is the author of Mars, Our Future on the Red Planet. Now, you've been covering space for a long, long time. That means you're really good at what you do. And you're the first recipient of the American Astronautical Society's Ordway Award for Sustained Excellence in Space Flight History. What was that like, being the first one to get that award?
Well, you know, your life passes before you. It's a big difference today, but over those decades, the power of the Internet, our really capability to inquire about the whole world today comes through your Internet, and that's just a powerful tool. You always get worried, though, if you get those. They think you're going to drop off the planet, so I'm really looking forward to, you know, keeping writing is my goal.
Mr. David, it's been a pleasure and an honor speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thanks for having me.
That was Leonard David, author of Mars and Our Future on the Red Planet. We really liked the idea of Mr. David's expansion of the theme of STEM education, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics curriculum.
I'll tell you one thing about STEM that we got to keep an eye on. You add the arts and it's steam power. All the humanities and all the different kind of A's that we need to add on to STEM, that way it's inclusive of a lot more talent.
Now, this is a Nat Geo, National Geographic, book about space. So the pages are filled with incredible photos, illustrations, and graphics. And the TV series on Nat Geo has added cachet because it's produced by Ron Howard and Brian Grazer. We have links to the book, the show, the interactive website, and several other Mars-related links up at kgoradio.com/techonomics. We also have some sound and music clips posted there and at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. Coming up after this short break, we gig it out with listeners who are leaning on the gig economy to make their household budgets work out. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics, gigging to make the ends meet after the break. Please come on back.